You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. You guys can win a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean May 23rd at Blossom Music Center as part of the Minutemen Workforce Solutions Concert Series. Enter the word, now I wrote down multiple words here. What an idiot. That was a bad move. Enter the word burn. Good Lord. By the end of this hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win. Good luck from 92.3 The Fan and your boys Nick and Jonathan. Yeah, I wrote burn right here.
I see that.
I don't want to say the other word that I wrote down.
I see.
But it was like a visual cue for me.
Yeah.
And a great moment for me here. But we're back here live from the Clevelander, guys. Albert Breer coming up in 20 minutes, but let's go ahead and get to the lead. Brought to you by Slater and Zers. Experience you need, results you want. Zach Jackson of The Athletic joined the Modern Boys today to recap where the Browns quarterback room stands after, no short jokes here, after rookie minicamp, and gave his thoughts on who he thinks will be the starter week one.
It's wide open. I have been of the belief that Joe Flacco will be the starter, because I don't think you bring him in unless you want him to do what's been missing from the last three training camps, which is take charge, get guys in the right place, make sure that it looks how it's supposed to, and make sure that guys are doing what they're supposed to get ready for the season ahead. Initially, when it was reported and whispered they really like Kenny Pickett, I just said to myself repeatedly, that can't be true. I would think it would be really hard in a summer environment for either rookie to pass one of those guys, but we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously time will tell. The part I find interesting, though, is when they signed Joe Flacco, I don't think they had him taking two quarterbacks in mind, Nick. So, like, I think their plan can change, and you don't have to be beholden to what your thoughts were when you signed Joe Flacco, considering how different the draft made your team look.
If the reps go that Kenny gets one reps, Dylan gets number two reps, and Shador gets number three reps, and then Joe just kind of gets scraps.
Yeah.
It'll confirm the thought that at least early in camp, their best case scenario is one of the three young guys winning the job. And so if it starts there and then Joe wins the job, that's the signal that those guys just didn't take the job. And I really do think that's the way this should set up to be. And I get the weird sense that the Browns are going to try and win as many games as possible. And I think that could end up leaving you in no man's land. But, like, the best case scenario is give the young guys – even Kenny Pickett, who I'd love to see shipped out of here to New Orleans on the first charter jet possible,
third round pick. Well, how about New Orleans? Right,
that's what I was saying. Third round pick.
Who's the head coach in New Orleans?
Kellen Moore.
And who was his offensive coordinator last year in Philadelphia?
Kellen Moore.
So, like, it adds up.
But no, I do think give the young guys every chance, because Joe shouldn't need the same amount of reps. You're playing with fire a little bit. But I think that's where we're at.
I agree with the idea that if it does end up being Joe Flacco, something didn't go right for these quarterbacks, these rookie quarterbacks, because you just don't need to go down that way. Play the young guys, see what you have. especially if they look good in camp. Darius Garland spoke ahead of the Cavs game 5 tonight at Shoot Around, even down 3-1. Garland says the Cavs still have belief.
Win at all costs. You just got to take it one game at a time. Tonight's all we're thinking about. There's no reason to think about anything else. You win tonight, and then you worry about the next day after that. We're all focused on the game tonight and trying to get one, and that's all that matters.
So was that supposed to be Strus? What happened there?
Your copy says Strus. My copy says Darius.
Oh, look at that. Well,
why is our guy sending us two different copies with two different names?
I don't know. Anthony Alanth, the producer grade, just got dinged a little bit.
Anthony, what happened here, buddy?
Man, I got to tell you, Strus has really earned.
Strus has been loose.
He's earned my respect in these playoffs. He has been arguably the Cavs' second best player, or at least the second most consistent player. And of everybody in the playoffs, there are two guys that have maintained playoff composure at all points. It's Donovan and it's Strus. And listen, it is as simple as the simple math. You got to get tonight, and we'll worry about, you know, game 6 later on down the road.
Yeah, career playoff high at 23. He's at 20 multiple times in this series. He's been great. And you know what's funny is after the Miami series, I told you about him hitting 42% of threes on contested three-pointers, which is just an insanely high number. And we had to have assumed some regression was going to happen, something was going to come back down, and he was going to come back down to earth. And it just hasn't. And so he's won over a lot of people. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and, you know, to me, like, all right, he's not one of the offensive self-starters. But, like, a good sign is always, you know, is Max Strus hitting his threes? Because usually that means he's getting good looks. What's wild about this playoff, he has not. He's not had good looks, and he's still making them. He's with guys in his face. You know, late in the shot clock, like, he's kind of been one of the last case scenario guys to get the ball. And I just think it comes down tonight of can we find the Cavs offense that we saw in the entirety of the Miami series and in the regular season? And that is an offense built on ball movement and taking the high percentage shots and getting those looks. And you don't get those looks if one guy's playing ISO basketball. That's not a knock on Donovan, because I don't think it's his fault. But everybody else has to remember that they have a hand in this offense, and if they want to score $120 or $130 tonight, it starts with moving the ball.
Yeah, no question. And usually, though, we talk about guys like outside of the core four that have to step up. And any regular season game, it was always one or two guys. And so you've gotten that with Strus. We just need more from the guys that we have talked way too much about them kind of stinking up the joint, the Dean Wades, the Okoros of the world.
Zach Harper, The Athletic, joined us earlier at 3, and he said the Cavs are the franchise to come back from 3-1, but they're doing it against a tough team.
This franchise is a different team, but this franchise has seen 3-1 comebacks happen before, and we've seen that, you know, especially in the lower rounds. Like, it's not a crazy idea. You build some momentum, it can happen. But this Indiana team is playing with so much confidence. I don't know how you rattle that.
Yeah, I mean, I liked a lot of Zach's sentiment, because the idea that you can't win 3 games against the Pacers is just not something I subscribe to. I feel like, yes, is it an easy task? Of course not. But this team definitely can win 3 in a row against Indiana, even if right now it feels like you're down and out.
Yeah, I mean, what was so incredulous about the Cavs taking 3 straight from the Warriors is the Warriors offensively just had these stretches where they were inevitable. You couldn't stop. You could be up 30 points on them, and they could erase that deficit in a short amount of time. The funny thing is both the Cavs and Pacers have that same trait. We've only really seen it from the Pacers in this series. So, I mean, listen, we talk about ball movement, but the reality is the Cavs, I'm getting choked up here. I'm so excited. But the Cavs are due. Like, if you want to talk about a massive regression in the positive,
for sure,
this would be a game where all of a sudden you'd hit 50% of your threes or 60% of your threes.
So that's what I thought was game 4 was almost a bounce off of game 3, because you just dominate game 3 and you have such extremely high offensive numbers that game 4 was kind of a bounce back from that, and then now game 5.
You know who I see here?
Course. Who do you see?
I see our boy Nick Shook, NFL.com, NFL
oh, there
Network.
We go.
I noticed him by his muscles, because he got massive arms. We're talking cannons, people. Shadoosh. And
what was that? It sounded like you almost said shadoosh.
I was. It was like a skadoosh from Kung Fu Panda.
I thought you were calling Shador Sanders a douche for a second.
You are sensitive. You're as sensitive as anybody on social media.
What do you mean? You said shadoosh.
I've never said that in that context. My voice got very high there. Hey, what about number four?
Let's talk about number four. I think you got scared people online were to come after you there for a second. Trey Hendrickson spoke to the Cincinnati media today about his ongoing contract dispute, had this to say about why he might sit out games this year.
We're just not seeing eye to eye on the structure. It seems that a shorter deal is something that they are pushing pretty hard. That puts us in the same place I was in 2022, where I have to renegotiate the next year. So it's something where I think both parties should understand that a long-term contract that guarantees that know that I can continue to play at the level that I have been is a mutual respect. That's where my values lie, and it also allows me to stop having to negotiate every offseason.
It was wild that he pulled up to mini camps and he looked like he was about to play 18. He looked like he was about to go to Quail Hollow.
Did he dress like I'm always dressed?
No, like even more golf-centric.
I don't know what to tell you here.
I think one step above where you are.
One step above me? Yeah. I'm missing the hat today. But outside of that, I look like someone's just jonesing to ask me to go play nine right now.
But I'm Team Hendrickson on this. He has every right. He's been a huge part of what they've done. And I don't think their young guys are going to step in and be day one elite players. So they need Trey Hendrickson. You already lost DJ Reader. You've lost so many of the guys that made that defense so strong years previously. Listen, I'm not crying for if they suck, it's a great thing for us. Like, good. You can continue not putting a defense out there. But I just, if the Browns had Joe Burrow or any other franchise had Joe Burrow,
yeah,
and we were pulling this cheap crap, that ownership group would be lucky to still be in Cleveland.
I mean, it's such a cheap organization, and I hate the idea that you saw what they're doing with their first-round pick, right? They offered them less guaranteed money than the pick got last year in the same position.
Offering guaranteed money to all their – I don't understand that either.
Well, first off, you can't go in the wrong direction of that, by the way. Like, no one ever goes less guaranteed money than what happened the year prior. But on top of it, like, the Browns gave Schlesinger a guaranteed contract. First time we've ever seen a second-round pick in a fully guaranteed contract.
The other guy they gave it to.
Well, I mean, just the reality, though, more of these guys are getting more and more money, and then the Bengals are like, no, we're going to do less. It's like, no wonder you have issues.
Now, that's a golf shirt right there.
That guy's looking like he wants to go play nine. Yeah, he is.
I don't have the stamina for it. He looked like he was like, you want to go? I was like, I can't. NBA commissioner.
Typically, he wanted to fight you for some reason.
And then I think he thought other of it.
I think he might have called you a shadouche.
You might be right. NBA commissioner Adam Silver was on ESPN's lottery coverage last night. When asked about how he likes these playoffs, Silver said this.
It's throwback playoffs in a way.
Yes.
I love the increased physicality. I mean, it's not by accident. You know, we're not quite back to the bad boys.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we want to be there. The physicality on top of the increased parity. Mm. You know, it seems like it in a positive way, not correlating to market size or anything else. Just great competition from around the league. Also, the competition's been terrific in terms of buzzer beaters, close games. On behalf of the league, it's the kind of basketball I think that people love.
It sure seems like he's trying to take a victory lap there, JP.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard as if he's like an orchestrator of all this. One thing I will say, in regards to the first and the second apron, he has clearly tried to get rid of the idea that you can have a dynasty in the NBA. And on that note, it's paying off for him.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Like, the intentions he's had is working.
And doesn't it look like, I mean, Denver could foreseeably come back in that series. But anyone else that advances, if it's Indy, if it's New York, Minnesota.
Indy's never won a title.
OKC.
The Knicks haven't won one in 50 years. OKC's never won a title.
Well, but you're going to continue your streak of not of having a new champion every year.
I know. It'd be seven straight years then. And that's exactly what he wanted. And you know what? I really do think it's good for the game that in October we can't predict out who's going to be in the NBA Finals, because for years we were able to do that.
Yeah, but I also don't love the idea that he's taking credit for it. Like, there was a big summit and we're like, we're going to allow every fight now. We're going to allow everything to happen on the court. So we start to tinker with things like the competitive integrity of a series and what players can expect, yeah?
I mean, I don't know. I do think he deserves some credit in this, though. I mean, it was his vision. He shaped it out, and it's coming true. Where we've seen a lot of commissioners try to do things like this, and it just completely backfire on him and not play out this way.
The lead brought to you by Slater and Zers. Experience you need, results you want. Albert Breer in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Well, it's competing Cavs versus Guardians vibes right now, and I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, a guy that was just walking by to say hi to us, very nice, by the way, Midwest nice, which is my favorite thing about everybody in town right now is from Milwaukee, Indiana, or Cleveland. Everybody is Midwest nice right now.
Everyone's nice. There's no debate in that. I loved his shirt. He had the white man can't jump shirt on.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. It was
he also
I
looked
seen.
Like he couldn't jump, so that would kind of fit.
That's par for the course for having one of those shirts, right?
Yeah. Is it like an acknowledgement of I like the movie? Also, I have no vert.
Well, I also think that movie was beloved by people like myself with no vert and also loves trash talking on courts.
I had a vert once.
Yeah?
Like what? Like
how big was your vert?
Definitely 12 to 14 inches of vert.
Yeah, could you jump over a phone book?
I mean, that's insulting that you would ask me that.
I don't know. I mean, I...
Like, you're seeing a blob of humanity right now. I was once a much more sleek, athletic blob of humanity. Yeah.
I mean, I've told you before, I run like I am carrying a refrigerator on my back. You wouldn't expect that.
Do you run like Obi Toppin runs up the court?
Obi Toppin makes one move that makes him look like, you know, Dr. J, and all of a sudden people are convinced Obi Toppin's good at basketball again. It's wild to me.
And not just that. They were chanting Obi Toppin. It's like, guys, we don't do this for scrubs.
Now, you've never settled in on the idea that you hate Obi Toppin, and you've admonished him throughout the entire series, which I understand and get, but he's also a Dayton guy, so that kind of...
So?
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like... didn't you live in Dayton at one point, or am I making that part up? Was
no,
it Toledo?
I did, for 2 years in Kettering. It doesn't mean I have to like scrub-ass basketball players.
But he's like the pride of Dayton at this point.
He's
this close to getting a statue in Dayton.
Here's my take. I don't like when scrubs, meaning like guys who are like 10-point-a-night guys, when they make a good basketball play, act like they invented, like they're James Naismith.
I mean, if he did that play in 1985, shut the league down, though.
Not really, because...
They would have loved
it. You know who he is? He's Harold Miner. Harold Miner had one good dunk in a dunk competition, and because he was bald, everyone was like, baby Jordan, shut it down. And then what they didn't realize is the guy was a scrub.
I think people know who Obi Toppin is at this point.
Do Indiana fans?
I don't know that Obi Toppin knows that at this point.
I saw the guy miss a wide open three, then miss a bunny, and then commit a turnover. And like 5 minutes later, they were like, Obi Toppin. And I was like, all right, Indiana fans, shut it down.
He's fun to root for. I like rooting
for him. In
what
way?
If he wasn't playing in the series, I think he's fun to root for.
Oh, no.
What do you mean?
No. What is rootable about Obi Toppin?
Listen, I'll trash talk Mathurin until the cows come home, okay? Well, there's certain players on that team.
Obi Toppin.
There's a lot of players I just don't like. I like Obi Toppin.
I think they're the same guy.
I like Obi Toppin.
I
liked him in college, admittedly, though, so that's part of that.
This is.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. He was the whole season of college basketball. For one season, it was
just
Obi Toppin.
Wildly disappointing to go ahead and talk about. We'll get a little bit of Celtics talk in on this one, but the Browns in the path forward here. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline to welcome in. You know him, you love him. He's Albert Breer of the MMQB. He joins us every Tuesday at 5:20. Hey, Albert, how's it going, bud?
Hey, what's up, guys? I mean, I was going to ask you how you guys are doing because with the Celtics crapping in the bed and then their best player being out now, I was sort of wondering if this felt like the Cavs blew a golden opportunity that all they'd have to do is beat the Knicks to get in the finals. But
yeah, I'd say like that.
Not yet. We're 7.5-point favorites tonight, Albert. We're still keeping some faith here.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm rooting for you guys, the Pacers, anybody but that Knicks team. That's a very unlikable Knicks team. So, and he was worse as their fan. So go Cavs, go Pacers.
All right, here's the thing. It's really tough to argue with you on Knicks fans because they're insufferable when they haven't won a championship in 50 years. Can you imagine what happens if they win the championship this year? Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep. Oh.
You got me? You got me?
Yeah, we got you now, Albert. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you would think, like, the way I am, like, I'm sky is falling with all my teams, and you would think that if you hadn't won a championship since before I was born, that you would be that way, but apparently not. So,
Albert, we've had a lot of dialogue on how the Browns are approaching the quarterback situation. Some people think it's best if Joe Flacco takes the job week one. Other people, Dan Orlovsky said on the Pat McAfee show today that he thinks it's in that he would give Shador or Dylan Gabriel every opportunity to win the job because they're youth. Where do you stand? How do you see this quarterback thing playing out at least early in camp?
I think like the spring is more important for the Browns than maybe any other team in the league, and I know that sounds a little rash and everything else, but. You know, I just don't think you have enough reps to go around in the summer to have a four-man quarterback competition. The way the rules are now, you only have so much time to work, and you got to spend a good portion of that time building your team for the year, you know, and, you know, you figure out who your quarterback is, and then you're building around that quarterback, and that quarterback has a chance then to build a rapport with his receivers and his linemen and all of that different stuff. And so, you know, you can very easily do that if it's two guys competing for a job. If it's four, it's like kind of difficult to manage, you know. So I think, you know, really it's sort of because of the situation they're in right now, like coaches almost have to try to find a way to create competition in the spring and get an idea, even though it's not like, you know, full pads and full go and all of that, get an idea of who is actually, you know, the best two quarterbacks or the best three quarterbacks. I just don't know how you do it in the summer while serving the whole team and putting the team in a position to win without you know, finding a way to thin the herd at a quarterback position. But maybe there is a way. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Berry was on the station earlier in the week, and you know, he basically hinted at the idea that maybe Joe Flacco doesn't have to take as many reps because, yeah, you know, Joe's experience, and he came off the couch for the Browns 2 years ago.
Yeah, but, like, if you're Joe, do you just accept that? I mean, like, this is a new offensive coordinator. Like, he didn't have Tommy Rees around 2 years ago. A lot of the personnel has changed, too. You know, there are there are new receivers. He hasn't worked with Jerry Jeudy before, I don't believe, right? Like, Jeudy wasn't around yet, was he? So,
no, not yet, no.
I understand the logic there, and it makes sense, right? Like, that he would need those reps less than the other people. But if you're Joe and you look at it, you're saying, like, my guarantee on my contract is the same as Kenny Pickett. They can walk away from me just as easy as they can walk away from Pickett. Well, then aren't you thinking to yourself, like, I don't want to give this dude a leg up. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, does that become difficult to manage? Like, I can even remember guys, like, you know, covering Tom Brady, he was maniacal about not giving reps to his backups. You know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't that he was a jerk or anything like that. He was like, I have to prove every day that I'm the best quarterback for the team, you know? And I think that's the way most guys are. And, you know, if you're Joe and you're in that situation, I can't imagine you wouldn't look at it any other way. Like, yeah, I know the offense, but I need the work too.
Albert, the Browns signed two veteran safeties earlier this week. They've signed some veterans in free agency, although not like high-ticket guys. And they've got seven draft picks and 13 undrafted players. So I'm trying to figure out, like, are they trying to win as many games as they can? Are they rolling the dice to see what happens? How would you, because they haven't gone super young yet, but it's not like it's not like they've gotten better. So I'm just trying to figure out how should we talk about what the plan is with this roster?
I think the plan is to create as much competition as you can. And I think, you know, I do wonder, and this is just me talking, if, like, there were some lessons learned last year when, you know, they let Joe Flacco go because they felt like they needed to really have a united front behind Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I think that idea of, like, it's almost like, you know, you're taking the guy's scholarship away, you know, when you create competition for him on the roster. Like, you're not guaranteed your spot anymore. But sometimes that's what's best for the team. And I look at, like, where the team was a couple of years ago and then what happened last year. And I do wonder if some of that might be a little intentional based on what happened last year when they did focus a little bit more. And I understand this too, on, like, creating real cohesion and having to find starters and all of that, you know? So it'll be interesting to see the way that develops across the roster. And, you know, certainly they're doing a linebacker too with JOK out for the year, and they've taken swings. You know what I mean? Like, they, you know, they signed Jerome Baker. They drafted Carson Schlesinger in the top 40, and they were looking around, you know, before the draft at veteran trade options at linebacker too. So it's happening there also. You know, so there have been a lot of different spots where they've tried to add competition, and you know, I think, it at least feels to me like that's been pretty intentional.
You mentioned JOK. Is there any insight you can give us on that situation?
Yeah, it just sucks. You know what I mean? Like, I know between, you know, and however you want to term it, I think they're calling it an act. We're going to notice some concussion concerns too, which you have to, I guess the teams always have to tread lightly when they're talking about those things. But, you know, I certainly think that, like, the main focus right now is his health, you know, and making sure that that he's gonna be in a position to live a good life, you know, and I don't want to sound like too dark about all of that, but, like, the reality is, like, anything with your head or neck, like, where you're in this sort of situation, that is what the concern is, you know. So I would wish the best for him, and I know the Browns are trying to prioritize that. Good on them for handling it that way.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Derek Carr abruptly retires earlier this week. Where do the Saints go from here beyond Tyler Shuck? And could they make a call to the Browns about either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett?
I don't think yet. Like, I think they want to see their young guys first. You know, so I think they're going to give it the spring. And and give Shuck a chance because, you know, he was in college for 7 years. He's actually older than Spencer Rattler, I believe, and only a few months younger than Jake Haner. So, like, Shuck had the 7 years in college and comes from a pro-style office at Louisville where he's playing for Jeff Braum. You know, and obviously they've had Haner and Rattler in their system. And so, you know, I think what's more interesting about the Saints is what this means for the rest of the roster and how this creates, like, an organic chance to restart some things and reset some things from a cap perspective, because they've been building up all this cap debt for years and years and years and years. But I think for right now, the focus is seeing what they have on their roster and seeing if they can put themselves in a position to compete right away with one of the guys they have in-house. And if it doesn't look like that, then I would think maybe they would start to look at that stuff maybe at the end of the spring or early in training camp. And I'd have to look back, but I don't think either of the – well, I know neither of those guys have experience having played for Kellen Moore. So, you know, the question would be, does Kellen Moore go with someone like a Pickett or a Flacco, or does he lean back towards, you know, finding somebody who has some experience having played for him?
Yeah, I think that's why we connected Pickett with Kellen Moore, because of the time with the Eagles. So I think there was a lot of people
I'm sorry. I was racking my brain there, and that would 100% make sense. Yeah, so there you have it. Sorry.
yeah, it's fine. Let me ask you about Nick Chubb for a second. I know we ask you a lot about Nick Chubb, but last week, you know, Andrew Berry on the station basically closed the door there. How does the NFL view Nick Chubb in this landscape? Like, is there a market for him? Do they view him as someone that could get 600, 700, 800 yards, or are we just thinking way differently about the situation?
I mean, I know how he's seen in Cleveland, so I want to be careful about how I say this, but I mean, I think he's more name the game right now. You know, like, I just think the amount of injuries that he's had to come back from, everything that he's dealt with, you know, even like what he was dealing with coming out, you know what I mean? Like the amount of the accumulation of stuff that he dealt with in college. You know, obviously he was a warrior, and you know, his place in Browns history is secure for a reason. He averaged 3.3 yards a carry. I mean, you guys saw it, you know what I mean? Like, he's just not the player he was. And so, you know, it feels to me like this is one of those situations where maybe you wait for injury or competition on a roster to create some sort of opportunity somewhere. He could sign next week. He might wind up waiting until, you know, the middle of training camp. We'll see what happens.
So do you think it's more likely that he has a deal in place before camp, or that he'll go into camp without a deal?
I would say it's more likely that when the NFL breaks for the summer, that he doesn't have a deal yet. Maybe somebody signs him before camp. My guess would be, yeah, maybe that, you know, you get through the spring and the teams get through the spring, and then maybe an opportunity springs up for him somewhere. But my guess would be, like, his opportunity, assuming it comes, would be at the beginning of or during training camp.
Albert, we got more rumors on Aaron Rodgers. Some out of Pittsburgh speculating it could be today. I buy into the idea that he wants to wait until after the schedule release, just because he doesn't want to get screwed like what happened last year with the Jets, were on just a million primetime games. Do you buy into any of those theories attached to this, and where do you stand with Rodgers, especially now that you have another spot that would potentially be open?
I didn't agree with the schedule release thing until I really thought about it, and then I remember what all these Jets people said to me last year about how badly they got hosed by the front end of that schedule and the toll it took on the players and the effect it had on the locker room and everything else. And so, like, it seems like that could have an effect on the schedule, knowing whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the roster or not. And, like, I don't think it's going to affect the idea that the Steelers will be in prime time, and that's going to happen regardless because they're the Steelers. But, you know, just as far as, like, the ridiculousness that went on last year when they had the Jets playing on the West Coast on opening Monday night and then coming back and playing again on the road on Sunday before putting them on Thursday, I think you might actually avoid that if, you know, the schedule makers aren't 100% sure whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the Steelers. So I guess I buy into a little bit of that. I think it has more to do with his personal situation, to be honest with you. And I think the reason why you wouldn't do a deal because of his personal situation, at least the way I see it, is because you may look at it if you're him and say, and if you're the Steelers too, and say, well, if I sign in the beginning of April, and yeah, like that makes everybody feel good, but then when they get to the off-season program, when they get to the start of OTAs, when they get to mini camp, where's Aaron? Where's Aaron? Where's Aaron? That story's going to engulf them. Versus, like, if I just wait, so yeah, people will still be talking, but there won't be the intense pressure on the team or me to show up anywhere. So I think that's more likely the reason. And I mean, the problem for the Steelers, of course, is that it does leave open the possibility that he could reverse course and decide to do something else, do something other than sign with the Steelers, whether that's sign with another team or not.
Albert Trey Hendrickson showed up at Bengals mini camps in golf attire. This continues to be a contract kerfuffle. Do you think it gets handled shortly, or do you think this is going to be an all-summer issue, ending with him not being at Cincy?
I think it's unpredictable right now. You know, I know Joe Burrow wants that deal done, and, you know, Joe putting pressure on the Bengals management certainly worked in the case of Chase and Higgins. I think that one of the reasons they moved so fast was because of the presence of Joe and the pressure he put on the team to get something done quickly. And those two guys then banded together, so you weren't going to do one without the other. You know, in this case, it's just there's so much water under the bridge. It's hard. And, you know, my question would be now, is there a compromise to be made? Because for the last 2 years, he's wanted a contract adjustment. He's wanted new money. And if you don't get it from the team, like, you're going to become less and less likely over time to give them any sort of hometown discount. So with the market changing for edge rushers the way it has, and the amount of guys now that are making over $30 million a year, I mean, is he going to take less than Danielle Hunter? Is he going to take less than, you know, than Max Crosby? I mean, the guy had 35 sacks the last 2 years. So, and then are the Bengals willing to go into that territory, into the range where they paid Jamar Chase? So, you know, I think all of that makes it complicated. And again, it just starts with the fact that, you know, he's been looking for this for a couple of years, and, you know, he's put his body on the line without a contract adjustment the last 2 years, which would only motivate him to try to take every penny he can off the table.
Albert, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you, and have a great week.
Awesome. Good luck tonight, guys.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Back on Afternoon Drive, live from the Clevelander, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. Business is picking up out here. It's beautiful. We get to see all the Guardians and Cavs fans. I'm sure there's some Pacers fans in the midst here for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, it looks like
that's
it.
That's a very chippy for we love Pacers fans, too.
Just we had the one Pacers fan that was sitting in front of us for an hour or so, and he loved our Obi Toppin discussion.
He did. He did, and then he left.
Some could say he was satisfied.
Is that why you were nice about Obi Toppin, as you were pandering to one guy at the bar?
Not at all.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Not at all. I'm shocked that you have such a disdain for Obi Toppin. He's harmless.
You're right. He is harmless.
Harmless.
That's a problem.
Oh, careful now.
That was close.
Careful now.
You saved it. You okay?
We right. almost had a yeah. me and my computer Spencer German situation.
We did. We did that, like a full freight.
Wow, I mean Mac, that was very close. She almost,
yeah, but she caught herself. Like the dexterity there was really impressive.
And what's funny? So it's the line that we have for the camera. But if she knocks that down, we wouldn't have had footage of her being able to fall and really now, having a problem there.
I actually wonder if you have in a crash where you have it right up until a crash, but then you don't see the dust settle.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what they ended up getting there? That was really
there.
Close.
Now we did have close. Albert on and. People have made it a big deal about a quarterback conundrum and the quarterback kerfuffle.
Yeah. Well, just how many quarterbacks you could actually have, if you have 4 quarterbacks, how many passes are they going to eventually get?
Which is absolutely a fair point here, which I kind of think I don't think it's going to be that bad. I think Joe Flacco takes the big step back.
Albert definitely fought back on that. And I do see what Albert's saying. I think you can agree with that as well, right? If you're Joe Flacco, this is the last chance you're going to have to start a season. Why are you just going to sign up to take less reps?
I think because you already signed up.
Well, I mean, so I think both me and you, I'll just speak for myself here. I would argue that's the job tough luck. Like, you're the quarterback until you get one of these starting quarterbacks to eventually take over. So you just got to roll with the punches. But I get why Joe would look at it and say, you're not putting me in the best spot to succeed here.
So while we have that going on, Albert also had a pretty strong statement on Nick Chubb and how the NFL views Nick Chubb at this moment.
I mean, I think he's more name game right now. The amount of injuries that he's had to come back from, everything that he's dealt with, his place in Browns history is secure for a reason. I mean, he averaged 3.3 yards a carry. I mean, you guys saw it. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not the player he was.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Listen.
The whole rest of the league says no, so he comes back.
It's only going to take one injury if you get into camp and Nick is still unsigned, the Browns could be that team.
Yeah, I just think we have between Samson, between Judkins, I just feel even throw Ford in the mix there. But so which one gets injured to then bring back Nick Chubb?
Any one of the three?
Any one of them, and then
that's
he's
specifically
just
Judkins. I mean,
because I would think he'd wait for a competitor to get injured, and then all of a sudden he comes back.
What do you mean?
Like so you wait for a situation, I don't know, maybe wait for Pacheco to get injured in Kansas City, and then all of a sudden Nick Chubb is on the Chiefs as their starting running back and he's getting real carries.
I mean, I think once he gets into camp, I think it's less about competitor and is there just a role for him that he can go in and step into. So that's probably why Judkins makes more sense. But Because if Judkin goes down, like Sampson nor Jerome Ford are going to be your bell cow back, right?
Yeah, I wonder if Nick Chubb thinks too highly of his abilities to then be like, because even if it's, let's just say it's Judkins and Sampson out there, he's getting third back carries there.
Yeah, well, until he breaks a big run.
I mean, right now Albert says he's more name than game anyway, so maybe he should just be satisfied for third back carries.
No, I think he's playing it the right way. In lieu of a legitimate thing out there, a legitimate job for him to have, what's the worst part of waiting? Kareem Hunt waited 2 years ago, didn't get the job until, was it week four? No, sorry, it's week three because Nick Chubb tore his knee up, and then that led to the opportunity with Kansas City a year later, and he's still there.
And he waited for the job in Kansas City as well, too.
Yeah.
That was like a week seven, week eight situation.
And now he's back there having re-solidified himself. Like, I actually think Nick's in a good spot. Like, I don't think we should just look at him. He's not on a roster, so woe is him. Man, I have a feeling that somebody's going to pick him up in week four, and he's just going to bust everybody's ass.
It is interesting in the resurgence that running backs have had, and what we saw last year with Derrick Henry in particular being an older running back in the season that he had, how Nick Chubb, after two major surgeries, is not being viewed anywhere close to the same way. And they were neck and neck for as dominating as could be just a few years ago.
We turn our attention back to your Cavaliers, getting you ready for... That's right, guys. It's time to go all in on Game 5 when we come back, including you're going to hear from Kenny Atkinson's pregame thoughts in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.